Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, I've read in the past how preachers would sometimes talk for an hour and a half or more. When I was a young man, my guess is that ministers were still in the 45-minute range. What do you see as the length to shoot for in today's world?
Well, I'm identifying with you. I remember those 45 minutes when you're like 8 or 9 years old seemed like 4.5 hours when you're sitting in the front row, because your parents say that's where you're supposed to sit because they can keep an eye on you from the platform. I guess it depends on what you're talking about. If you're talking about a funeral, I think a funeral sermon probably shouldn't go 45 minutes, and I think probably a funeral sermon would be more in the realm of 10 or 12 minutes, the actual sermon part, and that may even seem long sometimes. In a wedding, I've been in weddings where ministers have talked way too long. Sometimes they've preached a 30, 35-minute sermon, and I felt like that was imposing on the people who were there. If you're talking Sunday morning, I would think probably, depending on the church, but I'm thinking with today's attention span, I would think 20 to 25 minutes is more common to preach, and probably the realm that most people are expecting. If you're going to a Bible conference, I think 20 to 25 minutes would be short, because people who attend a Bible conference have traveled and they're paid to be a part of all that, and they would expect you to speak longer. So it depends a lot on what the situation is. It's hard to answer your question. I would say that if I'm asked to speak on a Sunday morning, I'm probably going to talk between 20 and 25 minutes. I was at a conference recently. I was in California. I was one of a number of speakers, and I'm thinking about one morning when two individuals both spoke at the same, not at the same time, but one following the other. And the first person spoke, and I looked at my watch. I would say probably spoke 45 to 50 minutes. And the second person spoke probably around 20 minutes. I always watch my watch. I'm just so conscious being in radio and television all those years. And the first person could have gone on another 15 minutes, and I would have been totally engrossed in what that person was saying. Happened to be a woman. She was a phenomenal speaker, and she broke up her presentation into different sections where there was actually quiet, where you processed what she was saying and so on. And she had one point she was making, and when it was all over, that point had really been hammered home, and it was incredible. She was very good, and she could have gone longer as far as I was concerned. And the second speaker, who didn't speak nearly as long, probably within about 10 minutes, my mind was wandering. Now, you could say that's because the first person took too long, and that's probably partially true, but it's also true that the second person, who was not a woman, was a man, gave so many Bible verses that after a while my mind was just, it was churning, and I couldn't figure out where this was going, and made so many points. And finally, when it came to the end, it wasn't summed up. It was just like so much coming at me. Mm-hmm. And so the length wasn't as important as to what the people actually said. So that's an interesting thing to me. I was very conscious that morning of the time, because I was thinking, this lady's going to continue to go on. I hope that she's not done yet, you know, which is a very interesting response to have. Yes. And the other person, man, I wish he would finish. This is terrible. So length is important, but probably length is not the most important thing to me. But I think when you ask at the beginning, you were wanting a very simple answer. I gave you a very long, convoluted answer, but my answer would probably be in a sentence or two. I would say probably 20 to 25 minutes is what most people are used to, and you can hold attention. But if you're an exceptional speaker, you might be able to go longer. I don't think I could go a whole lot longer than that before I would begin to notice that people were starting to drop off. So maybe we could talk about that sometime. How can you tell when you've lost your audience?
Yes, that would be an important thing to talk about. And one of the problems that all pastors tend to have, especially if they've been in ministry a long time, is they begin to believe that what they have to say is so amazingly interesting that they can talk as long as they want to, and people will still be hanging on their every word. When the truth is, our culture has conditioned us to sound bites, yes, and to programming that is very specifically shortened to about 20 minutes or so. Most people don't have any awareness whatsoever of how long the blocks of information are that are presented on a television and radio today. They don't understand that the hour-long television program is only between 42 and 43 minutes of content, mm-hmm, and the remaining time frame is given to commercials. So that as exciting as the particular drama or as funny as the particular comedy might be, it's broken up into those very definite segments. Mm-hmm. And the way the program is segmented is to attract the audience and to hold the attention so they can sell the product.
And we should have commercials in our sermons.
Well, or we pastors could all do what Rick Warren does. He starts to preach, and about 8 minutes into his sermon, he has a musical break and has the praise leader lead them in a song or has some soloist perform. Then he comes back out and he preaches longer. Then he takes sometimes another break, and then he comes back out and preaches even longer. I think I shared in a previous podcast that having watched him a good deal, the longest presentation that I ever saw him make was about 1 hour and 45 minutes, which, wow, is an awful long sermon. It was broken up in three places by music, but it's still a very long period of time. What I do hear you say, though, that time by itself isn't as important as the approach the pastor takes to communicating. And also the setting is going to be important. And you use the example of the different kinds of services, the wedding, the funeral, the regular church service, and then the Bible conference presentation. So the pastor has to be aware, and that's a very key word for pastors to grab onto and hold onto. You, pastor, must be aware of what's going on.
I've never heard a comment that he didn't preach long enough. I wish he'd gone longer. I guess there are those times when people have said that.
Well, you made one yourself today in the illustration you gave of the woman that you heard preach.
Yes.
You would have been happy if she would have gone,
yes,
longer.
Yes. Uh-huh. She was really marvelous. So anyway, it's a fascinating thing. I have many times heard people, especially in terms of my past, my wife saying, "You should have stopped sooner." So usually you err to the side of talking too long as contrasted to not talking long enough. Maybe sometime I should, just for my own ego, preach a sermon for about 4 minutes and then have somebody say, "You should have gone longer," so it balances the other comments.
Yeah, I've actually done that in a conference setting where I was one of three speakers in a morning session, and the two speakers ahead of me went unmercifully long. And now we're getting close to noon, and it's my turn, and I only have about 8 or 9 minutes. And so I take 5 or 6 minutes, and I summarize what I was going to say, and I let them out, and I am a hero.
That's wonderful. Yeah, good for you. And in fact, we had that happen in our church, where a given guest individual took a part of a service, which was a baby dedication, and he talked for a long time, and then the pastor got up, and he said, very graciously, not to embarrass the gentleman, he said, "Just for the sake of time, let me summarize what I was going to say." And then he went on and did that. And I would think he was finished in 7 or 8 minutes. And I went up to him after and I said, "That was a very smart move.
Very smart.
Very smart move you made." Yeah. So time's important, but you can also take 20 minutes and bore people to death. So that's where we go back to the framework that we have. I've had many people say to me, apart from the time factor, "Thank you. I was able to follow you so clearly. How do you do that?" And, you know, basically, I'm not going to give them the 4 points, but in my head, I know I had a subject, and that subject was very clear, which this lady who talked a long, long time, she had a very clear subject. I knew exactly what she was talking about, and she kept coming at that in different directions. So there's a subject. There's a response that's being called for, and I like that. It's frustrating to me when I hear all kinds of information, but it never comes to, "Now, this is what it means in terms of your life and how you're supposed to respond to this." So that's very clear in my mind when I put a presentation. I know what it is I want by way of response. And then if I say, "Do people know how to pull off that response?" And if they do, fine. I can review quickly, "This is how you do it." Or if it's hard for them and I have to say, "This is how you need to do what I'm suggesting." A lot of times, Dean, I would say that in my sermons, a good third to even a half of my sermon is going to be, "This is how you do what I'm talking about." And I have to fashion that to the given congregation. One of the difficult things for me, and it's why I call them starters, of presenting sermons for people that others can use as a beginning, is I don't know the congregation they're speaking to, so it's hard for me to make application to a specific congregation. This is how to do this, because I just don't know the people. When you're in a specific setting, then you can relate to it with much, much greater ease. But the how-to is a big thing. This is the way to pray more. This is the way to pray more effectively. This is a way to pray in a way that God will begin to respond to what you're saying. You know, so you lay it all out. And then there's a certain how long, and the how long doesn't relate to how long are you going to preach. The question of how long that I ask is, how long will it take you to begin to incorporate into your life what I'm talking about? You can say, well, how am I going to know? But you can say, in most cases, you can be pretty specific. If you want to learn how to pray in the way that I'm talking about, it's probably going to take you 2 to 3 weeks to begin to incorporate these ideas into your life where you're comfortable with them. If you do it one time, you're not going to be that satisfied. It's going to take probably 4 or 5 times. If you're a person who doesn't pray regularly every day, then it's going to take you longer. It'll probably take you like a month to a month and a half to begin to see what I'm talking about taking place in your life. But that's the how long that I'm talking about. So if that makes sense, that's more important to me than the specific number of minutes that you speak.
With all that we've talked about so far, I can't help but wanting to ask you, as one who preaches, are you able to hit your time target every time you preach?
I'm so good at that, Dean, that it's absolutely amazing.
That's good.
Part of that is because I'm a manuscript preacher, and I can go over it, and if it's 6-7 minutes longer, then I'll just cut part of what is there. It's harder if you are not going by manuscript, but going by outline. And it's even almost impossible when you don't know what your subject is, you don't know your response, you don't know the how-to and the how-long, because at that point in time, you tend in your preaching to add things that you your mind kind of goes to on the way. Some people see that as an anointing of the Holy Spirit that is helping them. I see that as a wandering factor because you're not really sure where you're headed. I believe that the Lord could say to me before I get up, put all your notes away and just get up there and I'll fill your mouth. That hasn't happened to me, and it would scare the daylights out of me. But if I was convinced the Lord was saying it, I would get up to see what happened. But for the most part, he works with me ahead of time saying, be prepared, know what you're going to say, do it within the time frame that you say. And looking back on my life, I talk longer than I should have many times, and it was because I wasn't prepared. Now I will almost always come within a minute or two of what I anticipated. Part of that is also being on radio and television for years. You just get so used to time that you know in radio, if you go 3 minutes over, you're going to be talking to yourself because Focus on the Family is going to come on anyway, and you're just going to get bumped. So that was a lot of training, and I was just used to it. In fact, even in meetings, a lot of times people will say to me, when you run a meeting, you're amazing to me how you're just conscious of the time. And the same thing is true in meetings. You can wander in all different directions, but if you have a good idea in the meeting what you're supposed to accomplish ahead of time, you begin to play that into the time and say, I have this much time to get this much done. That's a side thing. We will cover that at another time, but let's stay on target. So I'm pretty good at staying on target. In fact, I would say I probably would give myself an A on that.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed our podcast today. We've talked about a subject that every pastor needs to be aware of, and that is time. Time becomes very important, but the success of preaching on time comes from using the 4 key points from the sermoncoach.com sermon preparation method. Know your subject, know what response you want from your people, give them the how-tos so they are able to respond, and also answer that question, how long will it take for this to become a part of my life? We thank you very much for joining us during our podcast today, and we hope that you've enjoyed it. We know that you've found our podcast through our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through our website. We have lots of resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And as we always do, we invite you to join us again for the next SermonCoach.com podcast.